From the studios of the Living on Earth Network in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth Today. It may surprise some, but women explorers are not a modern phenomenon. For centuries, women have left what was familiar to embark on voyages of discovery. Often these women went beyond the mores of their society and, in the face of formidable challenges, helped to expand the world's body of knowledge. Most of these women have remained unknown, and no small number died alone or forgotten. As author Milbrae Polk writes, to go beyond the narrow perimeter set by culture was usually to become an outlaw, literally to be cast out by society to die. Milbrae Polk is herself an explorer, and she's written a new book called Women of Discovery, Celebration of Intrepid Women Who Explored the World. She hopes to bring some of these women out of obscurity. Milbrae Polk joined me in the studios of Living on Earth. In a book with many incredible women, my most memorable character is someone named Lady Mary Pierpont Wortley Montagu, who was so outrageous for her time in the 18th century that her own daughter burned her papers. Tell me about Lady Montagu.
Lady Mary Wortley Montagu, an English woman, married against her parents' wishes, and because of this lost a great deal of her potential inheritance. But nonetheless, her husband was eventually appointed to be the ambassador to the Sultan of Turkey. And she, against all convention, decided to go with him. It was not something that court ladies were really even allowed to do, but she managed to do it. And she wrote a series of letters home about her experiences that were later gathered together and published against the will of her daughter, but other people had copies of them so that they were gathered. But what she did was truly extraordinary. She traveled, first of all, without her husband and experienced life in Europe and then Eastern Europe and then down into Turkey that nobody from her time in England had ever dreamed existed. And once she got to Turkey, she went around the countryside and looked and saw how the Turkish people live. She went into baths. She went into harems. She really did quite a lot of extraordinary things. And she made a discovery that was really quite exceptional, is that she discovered that smallpox, which was then the great horror of Europe, I think fully a third of the people in Europe had died or were marred by it, but she discovered it wasn't quite as rampant in Turkey because the Turkish people practiced a form of vaccination that they had actually gotten from the Chinese. And she was so entranced with this, she had her own children vaccinated, brought back this knowledge to England. Because she was a member of the court, she was able to convince the king and queen that it was something that they ought to look into. They tried it on some condemned criminals, giving them the vaccination, putting them in a room with people dying of smallpox. Then when they didn't get sick, they were allowed to go free. Eventually, about 800 people were vaccinated, but she was attacked from the pulpit from religious people as consorting with the devil. And if she hadn't been so highly connected at court, she probably would have been burned as a witch. So that the knowledge of her discovery, which she brought back, was suppressed for a full 75 years before Jenner resurrected it, and he's now credited with the discovery of the vaccination. So many times that we found that it was women that made the initial breakthrough, and then others then got the credit for it later.
It really does seem like a number of the women explorers that you include in your book did approach the indigenous peoples that they encountered with a certain openness that perhaps some of their male counterparts did not.
Well, this, I think, is because traditionally, historically, and maybe to some extent today, women really did explore differently from men. And this is because they were excluded, historically excluded from those organizations that supported exploration, universities, governments, schools, the media. So it gave them a freedom. They didn't have to go find that prize that the men were under a lot of pressure to their patrons to find. And because the women then didn't have the support, they didn't have the money, they often traveled alone, so they were dependent upon many times the people with whom they lived. So they often learned the languages of where they went, and they saw the things that the larger expeditions, because of their very nature, obviously missed.
I went to the bathing house about 10 o'clock. It was already full of women. The first sofas were covered with cushions, on which sat the ladies, and on the second their slaves behind them, but without any distinction of rank by their dress, all being in a state of nature. That is, in plain English, stark naked, without any beauty or defect concealed. Yet there was not the least wanton smile or immodest gesture amongst them. So many fine women naked, in different postures, some in conversation, some working, others drinking coffee, and many negligently lying on their cushions while their slaves were employed in braiding their hair. In short, 'tis the woman's coffee house, where all the news of the town is told, scandal invented, etc. They were all so earnest in persuading me, I was at last forced to open my shirt and show them my stays, which satisfied them very well, for I saw they believed I was so locked up in that machine that it was not in my own power to open it, which contrivance they attributed to my husband.
You can hear Living on Earth on National Public Radio and the World Radio Network. To find a member station near you, go to www.loe.org or www.npr.org. This is Living on Earth Today.